And joining us today on Perspectives is Aspen Mattis. Aspen is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, Girl in the Woods. And Aspen, let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a writer, of course, living in Greenwich Village, where she's finishing her degree at the New School and working on a novel. So you're already working on another novel. And well, this is not a novel because this is based on a true story. And this is basically, as it says in the cover here, Aspen Mills left behind her quaint Massachusetts town for a school 2,000 miles away. Eager to escape her childhood as the sheltered baby girl of her family, Aspen wanted to reinvent herself at college. She hoped that far from home she'd meet friends who hadn't known her high school meekness, and she would explore newfound freedom, blossom, and become a confident adult. But on the second night she was there, something happens, something horrible, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Aspen, again, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about your interest in writing. Have you always been interested in writing, or did this event in your life push you to do something like this?
I have always been interested in writing, and that's a really good question, because it's not like this extraordinary story happened and then I became a writer. It was more like my entire life, ever since I was 9. I've written every single day. And I sort of write to find out what I think. Sort of like Joan Didion said, I write to find out what I'm thinking and to like lay down the facts that I know and to be able to discern from them the patterns that I wouldn't have seen had I not ridden my way to them, and to see like how when I get to a juncture, I always go left, and why do I always go left? And then, oh, maybe it's better to try to go right, and maybe it's better to revise a behavior that I've noticed through the stories that I write.
So if you've been writing since you were 9, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you're working on a novel. So that must be an incredibly big novel, writing since you were 9.
Well, it doesn't have every story about anthropomorphic animals that I wrote in elementary school. Not everyone, but it's become quite a thick book. But I feel like all of my first drafts are thick. In fact, the first draft of this memoir was 1,280 pages, and the memoir is obviously about a quarter of that. So.
Wow. We are visiting with Aspen Mattis. She is the author of the book Girl in the Woods. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning also about you being the, quote, sheltered child of your family, and when you write about your family at the beginning of the interview, we hear about your brother and how you hold your brother to a very high esteem. When you try and talk at the table, Dad always kind of like brushes you over until Mom comes in and says, you know, let her tell us about this. And so I can see where a lot of young ladies or young men have been in that situation, especially if they're the youngest.
The situation of like feeling like you need to be heard, like fighting for.
As far as the situation that you said that caused you to go and move away several thousand miles from your house is because you wanted to kind of perhaps reinvent yourself, or the fact that, you know, my mom and dad are just sheltering me too much, and so I need to go out and explore.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. Like, I felt like I needed space from a really loving but incredibly overprotective mom who everything that she ever did to me and for me came from a place of love, but it was a little bit difficult to separate my identity from hers when she was doing things for me that I should have been doing for myself. And so I felt like the only way to find my autonomy was to separate from her, which I think is kind of a common feeling for 18-year-olds.
And when you left, did you particularly choose that college because of the distance, or is it something that you really you had looked into the school and you wanted to do that?
Actually, it's like such a quirky, specific reason that will sound crazy if I just say it, but I only applied to one college. Colorado College was the only school I applied to, and I was positive that I wanted to go there. I was just absolutely sure because when I was 10 years old, I took a walk with my dad in the Bluffs in Colorado Springs. And Colorado Springs was where my grandparents lived, my mom's parents, and we would go there for a few days every summer, for like a week or maybe 10 days. And I loved it. I just absolutely loved like the smell of the red rock clay and just the big mountains, and just felt wild and different and like this other world where it was vacation when you're a kid. And it was like, you know, the oasis of my summers. And so I went for a hike with my dad in the Bluffs, which are like these red rock hills over Colorado Springs. And from the top, we were pretending to be Lewis and Clark. And from the top, we saw this green field in the distance. And I asked my dad, like, what's that out there? And like, I was talking and like, I was like, what's that out there? And I can't do accents at all, so it's embarrassing. But I was trying to talk like a pioneer. And he was like, and then he broke character. And he was like, that's just a school. That's Colorado College. Because he'd been, you know, in character, a pioneer with me. And he was kind of dismissive of it. But to me, it was like this time I got to go hiking with my dad, and I had my dad's attention and his partnership in this, and it just looked beautiful. It looked like this green, glittering, like dewy field in the distance amid a lot of gray and red and brown. And I never forgot that green gem in the distance, and I decided that that was where I was going to go to college. And the name truly meant nothing to me. I had no associations with Colorado College. I didn't know if it was a quote-unquote good school or a quote-unquote bad school. And I later learned that it was a good school, and it was a liberal school, and it was consistent with a lot of the things I should have wanted, you know. But, you know, both my parents went to Harvard Law School, and they were accomplished Boston lawyers, and I'm sure they would have preferred that I applied to more than one school. But I was sure. I was so sure. I'd never been sure that this is where I needed.
We're visiting with Aspen Mattis. She is the author of the book Girl in the Woods. And this is, would you call it a little memoir? Would you call that?
A memoir. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And this is something, as Aspen was sharing with us, that she went to college in Colorado Springs, in Colorado College. And, of course, your name fits perfectly, Aspen, being up in the Colorado Mountains in the Rockies. But as I mentioned, when you were there on the second night, something horrible happened to you. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah. So at my second night, I finally made it away. I'd finally, like, broken free, and I was going to reinvent myself at Colorado College, this Eden glimpsed while hiking with my dad. And the second night at school, there was a fire drill, and at the fire drill on the lawn, I met a girl named Catherine, and she was really lovely, and neither of us knew anyone. And I remember she asked me if I had any roommates, she asked me if my roommates were cool, and I told her I had a single, and she told me she had a single too. And she declared us single sisters, and then we hugged, and of course we were great friends because that's how college freshmen work. And basically, she introduced me to these two other kids. One of them was my neighbor, and one other was like a friend of a friend of hers. And we all decided we were going to watch The Breakfast Club, and we went to my room to watch it. And when the movie ended, my neighbor and Catherine left, and the other boy stayed. And this was my second night at school. Yeah, so I freshly showed up and was sexually assaulted my second night.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I know that was very hard, very difficult. But after that, you turned to your family, and your family reacted in a way that you didn't expect them to.
Let's say I kind of expected, and maybe I just hoped. I didn't know what was normal, and I didn't think, you know, when I told my mom, she reacted very practically, but not like with the empathic kind of warm. What I needed her to say was, "I love you. It's not your fault. This doesn't change a thing. I love you. No one causes rape other than rapists. Like, weed doesn't cause rape. You know, pink short shorts don't cause rape. This was not your fault. It's not a shame on you. Shame on him," is what I really needed to hear. But what's ironic is that even though our parents love us, and even though, you know, everything I think most parents do comes from a place of love, they don't necessarily have the distance and the clarity so that they can react in, like, the professional best way. So I think my mom's reaction, which was basically to tell me I should probably speak to a therapist about this, was not as cold as it sounds. You know, it really was the result of her, the fact that she was also traumatized, and she had spent my entire life protecting me. And then the minute I left home, the worst thing that could have happened happened. And it was really awful for her, too, and she couldn't really face it directly yet.
We're visiting with Aspen Mattis. She is the author of the book Girl in the Woods, a memoir. And after you decided, or at what point did you decide to go out and explore? Because once you started doing that, you were doing basically like, what, 25, 26 miles a day?
Yeah. So the Pacific Crest Trail is 2,650 miles long, and it's a continuous path. It doesn't break. It doesn't stop. It's just a footpath through the desert and the mountains and the volcano lands of Northern California, and then the Cascade Mountains. And it just blew my mind that a path like this could exist, like that people could walk the literal height of America. And it was something that I'd always wanted to do and thought that I would someday do and kind of planned on someday doing. But I didn't really think I would have the opportunity to do it until I was older, because I was going to go to college. And only after college was sort of wrecked for me did I decide that, you know, my school was not going to help me. This place did not feel right to me. I had to help myself, and I had to leave this place. I decided to do this thing that I had wanted to do for so long. And amazingly, my parents supported me in that. I was mind blown how supportive they were.
But did they expect that you were going to travel so far? Did you, they think perhaps, she'll go on a day or two, 3 day hike, and then you know, she'll get it out of her system and come back?
No, they knew me. They knew me. Like I had, they felt my conviction. I think they were terrified, and I think any parent would be. I think they had no doubt that I planned on walking the entire trail, and they prepared accordingly. Like, my dad so generously took vacation. He's a corporate lawyer. Took vacation to fly to L.A. to meet me in L.A. to drive me down to the Mexican border fence, and just north of Tijuana, along the corrugated metal fence that ripples along the Mexican border as far as you can see in either direction, he drove his rental car and dropped me off among the hills of dust, and then drove up this dirt road north away and left me there at Mexico's edge with a little tiny 11-pound backpack and a bunch of water bottles. And I think he was terrified. And I think it was the last thing in the world he wanted to be doing for so many reasons. And yet he did it for me because I was so sure that this is what I needed to do.
We're visiting with Aspen Mattis. She is the author of the book Girl in the Woods. It's a memoir. And it's something that is difficult to talk about with anybody, but especially when it happens to you when you're sexually assaulted. And it's only your second day in school and college, and you're far away from home. But what Aspen did here was she started walking, and this was a hike, I think, to, as you said earlier, find redemption. When your daddy left you off, dropped you off, and you saw him drive off, how did you feel, Aspen?
In the minute, is this going to sound so irrational, but I was like, finally. I was like, you know, I was just ready to be alone. Like no one got it, even though they were doing their best. Like, I think it's incredibly difficult to react with compassion to something you haven't experienced, and to react like in a way that makes the person feel like you understand and you're on their team, and that you like that this doesn't change a thing. I think for parents, it does change something for them. Even though they don't love you less, their questions will often make you feel like you're put in the position of defending yourself. Instead of feeling embraced, you feel like many people will ask you questions that make you feel like they are wondering, what did you do to make this happen? When instead they should be able to ask, you know, to like to separate themselves and their curiosity from like the empathic reaction that any victim of an attack needs, which is just comfort and love and to feel supported. And that's actually, and I was supported throughout this entire time by an anonymous person. I was so lucky to discover the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network has a 24-hour free anonymous hotline, and whenever I needed to, I would call it, and I would hear clear logic from a professional. And I never knew who this person was, and I knew that this person would never know me, and it was so liberating to get to hear from a professional, you know, like from someone who should know that it wasn't my fault. That literally, like as silly and simple as it may sound, rapists cause rape.
We are visiting with Aspen Mattis, and she is the author of the memoir Girl in the Woods. And this is a novel story that is set up as Aspen leaves her hometown in Boston to go to college in Colorado Springs. And on the second day there, she is sexually assaulted by one of the boys there in the college. And so she decides to go out on a trek. And Girl in the Woods is the title because she basically does go through actually, you went through different, very different landscapes from desert to mountains to – you saw a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah. I got sometimes it was super, super hot, like in the Mojave Desert. Sometimes it was 110 degrees and dry, and sometimes you're shivering at night, and it's been snowing for days in the High Sierra, and you're just curled up in all your clothes, and you're still cold.
How did as far as the trail, I guess, you know, our listeners may be wondering, well, what did this trail look like? And as far as did it was it well maintained, or is it something that after a while you have kind of have to make your own trail?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are parts of the trail that are just as like, clear as day, impossible to get lost on, like, you know, 3 feet wide, like you could ride a horse down it. It's like horse graded, no steeper than 10 degrees. It's beautiful and clear, you know, along, it's like through the Mojave Desert, it's like impossible to lose most of the time. It's like along the LA Aqueduct, which is just like this, you know, silver strip of water that's kind of man-made, like concrete, in the middle of just vast desert. But in other places, like the High Sierra, it's buried. It's under 50 feet of winter's fallen snow. And so you have to navigate on your own, either using a map and compass or using – I used a GPS and a guidebook. And Yeah, and you really do have to find your way using your own intelligence and awareness, and you have to pay attention to tiny details, like, you know, you're like, oh, like that high crest, that ridge looks like this on, you know, on the map or in this description, and here's where this waypoint is, and I have to follow the waypoint arrow, and if I get lost, I will be burning calories still, and I might run out of food, so the stakes are really high, and I do need to be attentive, and I do need to take care, and I am responsible for my own body and my own safety, and I am intelligent enough to handle it.
We are visiting with Aspen Mantis, and she is the author of Girl in the Woods, a memoir. And as far as food, you just mentioned food a little while ago and burning calories. You mentioned that when your dad dropped you off, you had a small backpack, nothing, you know, real elaborate. But so people, our listeners may wonder, well, then, Aspen, what did you do when you ran out of food?
Yeah, so...
Did you hunt?
No. I didn't hunt. What I did was, the Pacific Crest Trail, I should have hunted. What was I thinking? Would have been more exciting. But what I did was I would carry really, really calorie-dense foods like chocolate and nuts, cheese, quite often like hard cheeses. But you need about 4,000 calories a day on the trail to maintain your weight, which is about 2 dry pounds of food per day. So if you're going to be out on the trail for 5 days between little towns, because the trail will come into small little towns throughout California, like these little cute towns that have, you know, the little post office and the little country store, where you can resupply and buy new food. But for your 5 or 6 days between towns, where you're sleeping in your tent in the woods, you have to carry your food, and basically you eat a lot of chocolate and a lot of cheese and a lot of nuts and a lot of granola. And some hikers carried a little ultralight stove, and I didn't. I was stoveless, so everything I ate was cold.
And along the trail, along your trek, you ended up meeting somebody.
I did, yeah. So in Bend, Oregon, after about 2,000 miles of walking, mostly alone, I met a man. We all had trail names. I was Wild Child. His name was Dash. I met Dash, and he was also walking from Mexico to Canada. And it turned out he had started off at the Mexican border just 2 days after I had. And for 3 months, we'd been within about a day's walk of each other, trekking north in sync. And in Bend, we finally met. And I thought that he was super cute. And he thought that I was super interesting. And we decided we would finish the trail together. And we were 600 miles from Canada. And we did. So we left town together.
And you ended up staying together, correct?
Yeah. So we in those months, we really, or I guess it was only 5 weeks left, we really got to know each other quite well, and he, everyone who's walking the PCT has a reason. Like, no one decides to forsake plumbing and fresh fruit and, you know, and beds and showers and flush toilets for 5 months and be homeless and live in the, you know, sleep in a tent and sometimes directly on the dirt under the stars if they're super happy with their lives and in the real world. So kind of like the unspoken question quite often among hikers is, why are you doing this? Like, why are you through hiking? And when he finally asked me, I trusted him enough to answer fully and tell him about what had happened on my second night at school. And Dash reacted with all of the compassion that I had wished every single person before him had. And all he did was he opened his arms and closed them around me and held me and kissed me and didn't stop until I stopped crying. And I think he held me like half of that night, and I totally fell in love with him.
And I'm sure, you know, as you mentioned at the beginning of you having a loving family and, you know, protective mom, and the efforts that you made sometimes to talk to your dad or mention to him something that was going on in your life was important to him. However, if you said something like, "Dad, I need to get this from the library," he would probably say, "You know what? I'll get it for you. Don't worry about it." And this is what you needed when the situation happened to you. You needed someone to hold you and someone to listen and not just talk or try and fix it.
Yeah, there's really no way to fix a rape. There's no way to retroactively correct it. There's certainly no way to deny it and carry on as if it had never happened and deny it to yourself. And like think, well, you know, I'm still physically intact, so if I just act like nothing happened, I'm sure I'll be fine. That is the worst, because then you feel all this shame and this guilt of the secret. And it's a rape is too large a secret to hold inside your body. It will consume you. It will weigh you down. It will occupy you. And it's kind of counterintuitive, but naming it and speaking openly and honestly and calling it what it is, naming a rape, shrinks it, and it makes it something outside of yourself. And so the rape is the terrible, horrible, disgusting, shameful thing, not you. And it's so liberating to call a spade and to let go of that shame and take the misplaced shame and place it where it belongs. It's not shame on you. It's shame on him.
Aspen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and sharing something that is just so personal. Thank you very much for doing that. And perhaps there are some other people out there listening who may have gone through a similar situation. And, you know, your words can probably help them in some way. But is there a website or something else that you would recommend to our listeners if they want to find out more about your situation and the book?
Yeah. So my website is actually aspen-mattis.com because aspenmattis.com was taken. But another wonderful website, I mean, you can read more about the book on HarperCollins' website, or if you just Google Aspen Mattis Girl in the Woods, you'll get lots of like NPR interviews and stuff like that. And you can read like the Amazon page. But I also really recommend that you check out RAIN's website, the Rape Abuse and Incest National Network, especially if there's someone you know who you love who's been assaulted. And you can actually give to RAIN through that website because they fund the free anonymous hotline that really saved me. And I owe everything to them. And I'm actually donating 5% of the proceeds of my book to RAIN.
Well, Aspen, thank you so much again for being with us. We've been visiting with Aspen Mattis. She is the author of the memoir, Girl in the Woods.